Reading today is taken from John chapter 19, starting halfway through verse 16, which is either on page 1091 or just over the page at the top of 1092. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write, the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced.
Great. Thanks very much, Claire. Morning, everybody. If you've not met me before, if you're new or just visiting, my name's Dave. I'm the Families Minister here at Christchurch Central. Great to see you this morning. And we're going to spend a few minutes now just thinking about those words that Claire has just read. Kids, well done for listening to all those words. I've got a question for you. We'll see how carefully you were listening. Can you tell me who it was who nailed Jesus to the cross? Who crucified him? Hands up. Who was it? Let's see. Let's come over there to... Is that Rebecca or Phoebe? The soldiers. Brilliant. That's absolutely spot on. And this morning, on Good Friday, we're going to spend a few minutes thinking about Jesus and the soldiers. So, I wonder what you know about soldiers. Can anybody tell me anything about soldiers? Josh, what can you tell me? They fight, yeah? What else? What does a soldier wear? Anybody know that? Hannah? Ooh, yes, good work, Casey. Armour, yeah, Hannah? Black hats. Some of them do wear black hats. Those ones in London have the big furry black hats, don't they? And what does a soldier carry? Anyone know? Kids, anyone? A sword, Lucas. Brilliant. Well done. Yeah, so a soldier, we know what a soldier looks like, don't we? But the thing is, the soldiers in this story are a little bit unusual, because as well as having things like helmets and swords and shields, probably, they had with them hammers and nails. You see, it was the soldiers' job to nail Jesus to the cross, along with the two other men who were crucified either side of him. That was their task for the day. They had to carry out the crucifixion, the execution. And, I mean, that was an unpleasant job. It was a cruel job. The soldiers that day had to kill three men. And not just kill them, but crucify them. And crucifixion is one of the meanest ways of killing people ever invented. So it's not a very nice job at all. And from what John tells us, it sounds like the soldiers were not very nice people. So, kids, let me ask you another question. Can anyone remember what the soldiers did with Jesus' clothes? They took them off, Lucas. Yeah, and what did they do next? Martha, can you remember? They rolled a dice. Yeah, that's good. And what did they do next? Josh, can you tell us? Put him in a grave. Oh, well, put him in a grave. We'll come to that bit sort of sometime in our thinking between now and Sunday, I suppose. Martha, go on again. They shared them out. Yeah, that's right. So when the soldiers put Jesus on the cross, they basically took his stuff, didn't they? And we're told, aren't we, that it's good to share. And it is good to share, but not when it's somebody else's stuff. What they're sharing is basically stolen property. And yes, it was standard practice for the soldiers to get to keep the clothes of the people they killed, but it's still not very nice, is it? And the way John tells it, the soldiers seem much more interested in Jesus' stuff than in Jesus himself. So, kids, I wonder what you'd say. Are the soldiers in this story goodies or are they baddies? Baddies? We think baddies? Yeah, Jonathan, you're sure of that, aren't you? We're going to go for baddies. They're baddies, aren't they? They kill Jesus and they take his stuff. Of course, some of you grown-up folks might be thinking, well, surely they were just doing their job. They were just doing what they'd been ordered to do. Isn't it a bit harsh to say that they were the bad guys? Well, the truth is, none of us likes to think that we're the bad guys, do we? But all of us are. So let me give you a little illustration. If you reach under your seat, you should find a small square of tinfoil like this. Well done for leaving it alone this far. Pick up your tinfoil, please. Good, I can hear it rustling nicely. It's quite nice, isn't it? Have a look at it. You can sort of see your face in it. It's almost a little bit like soldier's armour, isn't it? But what I want to do with this tinfoil is use it to help us understand one of the most important words in the whole Bible, the word sin. Now, there are lots of ways of talking about sin, as breaking God's laws, as rebelling against him, as doing what is wrong. But the heart of sin is self-centeredness. I wonder, anybody who's at school, could anybody spell the word sin for me? Hannah, you reckon you could? Go on then. S-I-N. Or if you were at school longer ago, S-I-N. Yeah, the word sin has I at the centre of it. So, to illustrate that, what I want you to do, listen closely, and mums and dads, you might need to help your kids with this, is take the piece of tinfoil and wrap it round your index finger, like this. Just wrap it round with a little bit hanging off the end. That's it. Wrap it round nice and tight. You should end up with something a little bit like this. So we've got the tinfoil wrapped around our finger to show that sin is self-centered. Excellent. But the other thing with sin, with this sort of, that's great, Lucas, waving it, brilliant. Now the other thing with sin, this sort of me-first attitude that ignores God and other people, is that it twists us. So we become twisted, we become not very nice people. What I want you to do is just where your finger ends, just pinch the tinfoil and give it a little twist, like that. Twist the end of it. Try not to rip it. Don't take it off your finger. So you've got one bit that's sort of twisted. So now you should fit neatly on your fingers. Looks like a little, I don't know what you'd say that is, little parcel with tinfoil. So sin makes us self-centered and it twists us. But there's more. Sin makes us take the good things that God gives us, so carefully take the tinfoil off your finger, and it makes us take them for ourselves and hold on to them tightly. So take the bottom bit of it, the bit that was around your finger, in your fist and give it a really good squeeze. And this is what we're like with the stuff God gives us. We hold on to it tightly. We always want more stuff, and we're not very good at sharing it with others. So give it a really, really good squeeze, as tight as you can. So you should have some squeezed tinfoil in your fist like this, but with a little bit sticking out the top. Now, the final thing I want to say about sin is that sin makes us hurt other people. Put your free hand up if you've never hurt anybody. Lucas, that's not true. I testify from personal experience. We've all hurt people, haven't we? And to illustrate that, what I want you to do is use your other hand to bash the top of the tinfoil where it's sticking out. So give it a good old bash. Flatten it down as flat as you can get it. That's it. I can hear lots of good bashing going on. So you should have a flat bit sticking out like that. Now, I want you to open your hand, and the first person who can tell me what they're now holding will get this packet of Haribo. So open your fist. Tell me what you're now holding. What does it look a bit like? Yes, over there. A mushroom. That's an excellent answer, but not the one. Right at the back. Yeah, is that Luke with his hand up? Or no? What have you got? An ear? That's also good. Somebody down the front shouted out there the answer I was looking for. Who was it who said it? Lucas, did you say it? What are you holding?
A nail.
A nail. Brilliant. Well done. Now you have to share these with other people because there were other people who knew the answer. So,
thanks.
Tim, well fielded. They're not as aerodynamic as one might think. So, you should be holding, hopefully, if this has worked, and I can see that some of you are. Hold them up nice and high. Something that looks a bit like a nail. And here's the point. You see, it was the soldiers, wasn't it, who physically nailed Jesus to the cross. But in another sense, all of us hammered in the nails. We're just as guilty as the soldiers were. We are the sort of people who, in our hearts, instinctively want to kill Jesus and take his stuff. And a lot of the time, the things that we do don't seem so bad, do they? I mean, the times we tell a small lie, the times we disobey our parents, the times we hurt other people on purpose with our words or with our actions. But those things are the things that are, they're like nails that held Jesus to the cross. We just sang it, didn't we? It was my sin that held him there. And we'll sing it again in a bit. Mine was the sin that drove the bitter nails and hung him on the judgment tree. See, the first thing we need to remember on Good Friday is this. We are guilty. When it comes to the cross of Jesus Christ, we did it. And so what we're going to do now to sort of show us just how far short of God's standards we've come, we're going to read some words all together. Everyone in the room that can read is hopefully going to be able to read these. They're going to appear on the screen. This is how Jesus himself summarized God's law. And as we read these words, I want you to be thinking, have I kept these laws? How do I measure up? So, all together, we'll say this. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The nail sticks, doesn't it? That's the bad news. We are guilty. We did it. And what I want us to do is just be quiet, just for a very short period of time. Kids, you can count to 10 in your heads if you want. And we're going to just think about the fact that we are guilty, we did it. So let's be quiet whilst you count to 10 in your heads. Great. Now, of course, it isn't bad Friday, is it? It's Good Friday. Because as well as the bad news, there's some really, really good news for us to remember this morning. So do hang on to your nail, because you're going to need it again in a couple of minutes. Let me ask you another question. Do you think the soldiers knew what they were doing when they crucified Jesus? Hands up yes? Hands up no? Hands up you don't want to commit because you sense a twist might be coming. Yeah, on one level, yes, the soldiers did know. I mean, they were professionals. This sort of thing was their job, you know, hammering in nails. They were good at that. But the way John tells the story highlights that there's a lot more going on than the soldiers realized. In fact, the whole story is full of stuff that where there's more going on than people realize, like Pilate's King of the Jews sign. There was a repeated phrase in that reading that Claire gave us earlier, this phrase, to fulfill Scripture. See, four times John says that things happen to fulfill the Scripture. The soldiers sharing out Jesus' clothes in verse 24, Jesus asking for a drink in verse 28, the fact in verse 36 that Jesus didn't have his legs broken, and verse 37, the soldiers piercing Jesus' side. And that's amazing, isn't it? The details of the story happen exactly as it was predicted, exactly how God said it would happen. I mean, most people don't know that they're fulfilling God's plan in the story. The soldiers don't know when they're hammering in the nails. Pilate doesn't know when he's putting up that sign. But there's one person who does know and who acts in order to fulfill the Scripture, who does what God said would happen, to follow God's plan. Anybody tell me who you think in the story really knows what they're doing the whole time, knows that they're acting to fulfill Scripture? Martha, you are having a great... Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll come to Jamie, because I've come to you a couple of times, Martha. Jamie, who do you think it was? Jesus, bang on, that's right, spot on. Jesus, so verse 28 says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the Scripture, I thirst. Or verse 30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And I just want to finish by thinking about those words, it is finished. What does Jesus mean by those words? What is finished? Well, kids, let's think about some times when you might say, it is finished. What about if you've had a drink? Do you think after you've had a drink, you might say, it is finished? You might do, mightn't you, when you've finished your drink? Is that what Jesus is talking about? I mean, he has just had a drink. You're just sort of describing what has happened in a factual way. But that's not what Jesus means. We need to think again. You might say it is finished when something really good comes to an end. Like, say you've watched an episode of The Octonauts and it's over and you say, oh, it's finished. Or you come to the end of your holiday. Who's been on holiday recently? Joel, you've been on holiday. At the end of your holiday, did you think, oh, it's finished, and you feel a bit sad? Yes, well done. Good, right answer. Is that what Jesus means? Do you think Jesus is sort of feeling a bit sad, like something good has come to an end? Oh, it's over. No, Hannah, that's right. I think we need to think again, don't we? See, another time when you might say it's finished is when you've completed something, like a project, a task, a mission, maybe a piece of homework. You might get to the end of your work and say, yeah, it's finished, I've done it. Or if you're a bit older and you've seen the Lord of the Rings films, you know, after Frodo has completed his mission to get rid of the ring in Mount Doom, he could say, it is finished. And that is what Jesus means when he says, it's finished. It's a cry of triumph, a cry of victory. It's not, I've finished my drink, or even, I've finished my life, but I've finished what I came to do. And what did Jesus come to do? Well, he came to die instead of us, to face the punishment for our sin instead of us, to save us. Jesus came to take our nails, hold them up, so that we might be forgiven. Now, I know in Minis, you've been looking at the story of God rescuing Moses and the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and in particular, the Passover. Can anyone who's in Minis tell me what the Israelites had to do in the Passover? What did they have to do? They had to do something with a lamb. And it's, Josh, can you remember? Kill a lamb, and then what did they do with the blood? Hannah? Put it on their doorpost. And I know this because on Monday night, as he was going to bed, Lucas asked me if I could put some blood above his door to keep him safe overnight. So he has been listening. Well done, Lucas. And I was able to tell him that, in actual fact, the blood that saves him is not the blood of a lamb, but the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus is our perfect Passover lamb. That's what the unbroken bones reference in verse 36 is all about. Jesus died instead of us to save us. So this Good Friday, as we think about the cross, I want you to think about these two things. When it comes to the cross, we did it, so we're guilty. But God planned it so that we could be forgiven. Good Friday should make us really, really sorry for our sin. But it should also make us really, really grateful for Jesus and for what he offers us. And we're going to remember that in a few minutes when we have bread and wine and for the kids a little Easter treat. And as the stuff is passed around, we're going to have the opportunity to sort of do a swap, a little bit like Jesus did. We'll take our nails, we'll put them in a cup, and in return for getting rid of our nails, we'll pick up for the grown-ups among us a piece of bread, for the kids a piece of chocolate or a little jelly sweet if you can't have dairy, to help us remember what Easter is really all about. But before we do that, let me just say a prayer. Let's bow our heads and let's be quiet and we'll pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will help us to be sorry for our sin. Help us to repent of it, the sin that nailed you to the cross. We are this morning very, very sorry. But we are also very, very thankful. We want to say thank you that your death has opened up a fountain to wash away our sin so that we can be forgiven. Please help us to love you, to trust you, and to worship you this Easter time. Amen. We're going to sing a song now that contains one of the lines I referred to, one of the lines about it being us that nailed Jesus to the cross. So let's stand and let's sing, I Will Glory in My Redeemer.